All right. Welcome again. We're so glad you're here on this fall kickoff. 2026, another year. Every year, about this time in the fall, we spend a couple weeks, which we call our anniversary series. Santa Barbara Community Church started in the fall of 1979, which means we turned 47 this year, which is pretty cool. And we mark this anniversary not just to remember that we've made another lap around the sun together, or to pat ourselves on the back. That's not the purpose of our marking the anniversary. Rather, each year we want to consider together the nature and the calling of the church that was established by Jesus for a reason and a purpose. And we want to reorient ourselves around this why that Jesus has for us. Now, many of you know that I just got back from sabbatical a few weeks ago. Lara and I were gone for 12 weeks this summer. It was, all of you have been asking, how was it? Come on, 12 weeks off? It was awesome, right? But we got to visit a lot of other churches, and I just love doing that. Most Sundays I'm here, and so I don't get a chance to see other varieties of congregations out there. But by my accounting this week, on my sabbatical, I went to two churches in the Bay Area. Then we went to two churches in Spain, three in France, one in Portugal, and two in London. And it was so fun. We saw different kinds, different sizes, different flavors of church life. One church that we went to, it was their very first service ever. They were launching an inaugural service for an English-speaking church in Aix-en-Provence, France. That was cool. Another time, that week there was, by the way, we were outside in a park. There was 15 of us on July 4th of all days. It was kind of cool. Another service we went to in San Sebastian, Spain, was all in Spanish, which I'm not that great at, but they also read the scripture in the Basque language, which is even more foreign to me. We went to an international church in Portugal when Fred and Katie Fisher were joining us, and we kept listening to this preacher tell us that the Holy Spirit was our uncle. We thought, that's weird. The Holy Spirit's your uncle? And we realized it was the thick accent. It was the Holy Spirit is our anchor. That makes a little more sense. Okay, but there you go. When we were in London, I got to go to two churches at which some of my pastoral heroes used to preach at, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones and John Stott, and really enjoyed our time there. And then there was the one Sunday that we were in a tiny little town in a village in the Pyrenees Mountains in the south border of France. And I decided to walk down the street in this tiny village to church that day. And when I got there, wouldn't you know, there was no one else there. There was no congregation. There was no worship leader. There was no pastor. The doors were wide open. So I went in and I thought, man, I guess I'm the church today. I went up to the second story balcony and sang a couple hymns. I went down to the pulpit and read some scripture. I walked around and I just thought, this is great. I found out that the little pump organ that they had not been locked sufficiently. And so I pumped my feet and busted out a couple songs. You know, there are some perks to being the only one at church. Oh, boy. But you know what? Everywhere we went, we came back so encouraged because we heard all over the place the gospel being preached and sung, rich fellowship being enjoyed, fervent prayers being offered. So good. I want you to know this morning that even though we're celebrating our local anniversary, God is doing a great work all over the world, building his church and bringing forth praise to his glorious grace. Is that good? Yeah, amen. But I need to tell you that for me, truly, there is no place like home. You know, I love Santa Barbara Community Church. I've been part of this church for about 32 years, I think. And I love this church not because we do things better than other churches. We don't always. There's a lot of great churches out there doing good work. But the reason I love this church so much is because, well, I hope this doesn't come across too sappy, but I love you guys. I love this church. While I was gone, I made a commitment to myself not to be attached too much to texting, to my email, and it was so liberating not to be there. But I also said, I want to get some not only physical distance from my job here, but mental distance. So I made a commitment not to even watch service online while we're gone. But one Sunday, late in July, I broke my commitment. I found myself online Sunday evening in France, and I thought, oh, they're worshiping right now in Santa Barbara. So I tuned in, and it was a good service, but my favorite part of the service was not the preaching, which was good that week. It wasn't the singing. It wasn't the prayers being offered. My favorite part was watching online as you all were making your way up to the Lord's Supper together, acknowledging your need for Christ. And then as you turn back towards the back of the sanctuary here, I could see your faces. I was like, oh, there's Bob. There's Jane. There's Brad. There's Pat. And I just had this overwhelming sense. This is it's a wonderful privilege to be a part of this family of God, and I hope you feel that way as well. Anniversaries are times to give thanks for the good things that God has been doing among us, for our life together, for the ways that God has been pleased to work in and through this congregation. But just as important, this anniversary is a time to remember again who we are, who we've been called to be. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to take a bit of time to talk about our mission statement. We have a purpose together. And our mission statement is this. Hopefully you've heard this a few times. We exist to invite young and old to the truly good life in Jesus and the family of God. That's why we have been called together. Now, in the coming weeks, next week, Leslie's going to unpack what we mean by the truly good life in Jesus. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about the goodness of the family of God that we're invited into. But today, I just get to spend some time thinking about this first few words, inviting young and old. And before we go any further, I want to invite the DuPart girls and Dolly up. They are going to read scripture. God was like in making Becca and I in line because I asked them to also read Psalm 148 today. And let's go ahead and stand as these girls and their grandma come up to read the scripture, and let's hear it as the word of God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild animals and cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth. Young men and women alike, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the heavens and earth. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Can you say that with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. Well, doesn't it feel good? Young people here, doesn't it feel good to be invited to a birthday party? Young adults, doesn't it feel great to be invited to a concert, especially when somebody else is paying for it? Yeah, that feels pretty good. Doesn't it feel good to be invited to a wedding or a dinner party or whatever? When we are invited, when we receive that invitation, we know I'm wanted, and that feels great. Today, I want every single person here to know that you are invited. You're invited, you're wanted, wherever you're from, whatever you've done. Whether you've been a churchgoer your whole life or whether this is your first time coming to a church service, you belong here because God is a God of invitation. And this is his church, so he says, come. I hope when you heard that scripture being read, praise him, praise him, praise him. This is what we're invited to. We are invited to come and get swept up in a community of praise. Now, soon, in just a couple weeks, we're going to get back to our study of Luke's gospel. But 2 months ago, the last time we preached on Luke before our summer break, James taught us from a passage on Luke chapter 14, and it contains one of Jesus' many parables about what God's kingdom is like. And he gave this parable in response to somebody yelling out in a crowd saying, "Blessed is the one who will feast with you, Jesus, in the kingdom of God." And Jesus heard this, and he responded with a story. And he said, there once was a man who was about to throw a great banquet and feast, and so he sent out many invitations to lots of people. He wanted to share his joy. And so he sent his servants out, and when the time came for the great celebration to come, he started getting words back, people reneging on their RSVPs, saying, you know what, I know the time's about coming, I won't be able to make it, I've got family obligations. Yeah, sorry, I'm going to be working that day, can't be there, and on, can't come. And the man was kind of angry because he had spent so much time preparing to have people share in this incredible feast with him. And so he said to his servants, go out and invite more people, the kind of folks who aren't often invited to parties, the blind, the sick, the lame, the poor. And his servants said, you know what, we know you well. We've anticipated that's what you were going to say, and so we've already done that. And you know what? There is still lots of room at your party. And so the host said, all right then, I'm not going to settle for a small party with less joy. I want more people here. So go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them, make them, persuade them by any means necessary to come to the feast. Now, why did Jesus tell that story? Jesus tells the story because he wants us to know what God is like and what his kingdom is like. And sadly, many people somewhere along the lines have got the impression that God is more intent on keeping people out of his kingdom and away from his presence than he is at drawing more people to him. Some people think of God as the kind of being who cares more about the rules being kept than about people being loved and brought near and invited to share in his glory and his praise. And if that's you today, I want to let you know that there is nothing further from the truth. God is a God of joy. God is a God of celebration. God is a God of invitation. And he wants you to be a part of his kingdom. Now, those of us who have experienced the love of God firsthand are like beggars who have found out where to buy food or where to get food for free. And now we want to share that with other hungry people. Guess what? There's a place where all of your needs can be met. There's a place where you can get to know the beautiful God. That's our great privilege. Come and let's praise together the great party host. Now, again, part of our mission statement is that we exist to invite, but we are to invite young and old. I love that part of our mission statement because it's thoroughly biblical. Did you hear it in Psalm 148? Young men and young women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord together. Or Psalm 145 that says, one generation shall commend your works to another. Or Acts chapter 2, the birthday of the church, not just this local congregation. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls on the very first disciples. And they're filled with God's Spirit, and they start proclaiming in different languages the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some there don't understand what's going on, and they think, man, are these people drunk? And Peter stands up, and he says, guys, it's 9 in the morning. It's not time when people start drinking that early. Rather, this is what you're experiencing. And he goes on to quote the prophecy from Joel chapter 2 that says this. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. prophesy. Friends, we're inviting young and old to the truly good life in Jesus and the family of God. The church, this church, was designed from the start to be an intergenerational community, living together for the praise of God's grace. Now, it's so apropos today that Westmont and City College students are back. We are so thankful because when you're gone, we feel like we're missing an important part of the church family. Many of you, college students, are involved in Christian ministries on your campuses, whether that's something like Kapax Day at Westmont or City College and UCSB students who are involved with InterVarsity and Crew or other things. And I want to say those are great ministries to get involved with. It's good to be around people in the same stage of life with you to talk about what it means to live for Jesus. But the church is designed to offer you something none of those campus ministries can. And that is connection, fellowship with people who are both older than you and younger than you. Friends, this goes for those of you living at Samarkand and Vista del Monte as well in retirement communities. You need people as well who are different generations than you that make up the church to the praise of his glorious grace. Now, we want this to be a church of young and old and everywhere in between, not simply so that we can check little demographic boxes and say, yep, we've got people in our 20s, we got people in our 40s, we have people in our 80s. That's not what it's about. Rather, we believe that young and old and everyone in between is loved by God and has gifts that they can offer to God for the use for his glory. And I just want to say I'm inspired all the time by the oldest and the youngest among us. And again, everywhere in between as well. Now, this is dangerous to do because I'm going to start naming a few names. And I'm, you know, there could be hundreds of other ones that could be named. But just think with me. I was meeting with Don Collier this week, who's in his ninth decade of life. And I was just inspired by the way he's been the main caregiver for his wife, who for the last 15 years had Parkinson's disease. And he showed what faithfulness to the promises he made when they got married really means. He continues to write articles for the News Hawk about what the gospel is for those who might never come to a church. That's good work. I think of Diane Keene, who gives rides to church to people who have a hard time getting here. And she uses her skills of making beautiful quilts that can then be given to campers at Royal Family Kids Camp, where vulnerable kids are served. I think of Ralph Smith, who, again, is one of our older congregants, but continues to mentor kids in local schools. And after the death of his wife, he was blessed by the Ministry of Grief Care. And so he decided, you know what, it's time for me to help lead. And he's doing that as well. But it's not just our older people in our church. It's our younger, too. This week, I learned that two of our nursery supervisors are college age. Isabel Zhu, a very recent grad of UCSB, and Allison McDougall at Westmont. Thank you. I learned that Selah Blackwell, one of our high school students, has gone to camp multiple times, not just to have fun, but to serve younger kids as a counselor, as they're in camp. 2 weeks ago, I was standing right over here, and Caleb Gupta, who many of you know, he was leaving for his freshman year at Baylor, and he came up to me and he said, Mike, it's my last Sunday for a while, and I just want to let you know how much this church has meant to me personally. And I said, man, Caleb, thank you for investing yourself as a student leader in our youth ministry and being so involved. And as I said that, there was a young man, Tommy, next to him, who just was agreeing to me. He said, yep, Caleb changed my life. And so I was able to say to him, now it's your turn. You go invest in someone else and keep that ball rolling. This is so good. Whether you're in your teens or your 80s or 90s or anywhere in between, let's contribute to this pattern of using all that we are to contribute to the life and health of this church. There's a place for everyone here, not just to come to church. Don't ever say you come or go to Santa Barbara Community Church. We want you to be the church. We want you to be a part of this church family, bringing your gifts and talents and love as we offer praise to God and serve the world in his name. Okay, my time's almost up. couple practical encouragements before I finish. Number one, really important. We will never be the kind of invitational community we want to all the generations unless we protect our own time with Jesus. If you don't love the King, you will not want into his kingdom, much less invite others into it. This parable that Jesus told about the banquet was not only an invitation, but it was a warning to those who were turning away from Jesus, who were rejecting his invitation. Our mission, this is so important, listen if you've been tuning out. Our mission as a church is not simply to invite people to be a part of Santa Barbara Community Church. We have the privilege to invite people to the very kingdom of God. If you spend much time here at all, you will see very quickly that this church is filled with very, very ordinary people. Now, I told you guys how much I love you. I love you. But you guys are so ordinary, and so am I. We have very ordinary flaws, very ordinary weaknesses, ordinary temptations. And if you stick around here long enough, chances are you will get your feelings hurt by somebody. But I want to say, we are not just inviting people into this congregation. We have the privilege of representing God himself and saying, come and follow him. Because we serve not an ordinary God, but an extraordinary God whose kingdom is everlasting and whose dominion rules over all. So prioritize your time with Jesus, and you will not only want to praise him, but will want others to as well. Secondly, get to know some people who are different than you in this church. As I mentioned earlier, all of us want to find some friends who are like us in the community. That's good, who are in the same season of life, people who are going through the same kind of joys and challenges that we are. And I want that for all of you too. But make it your ambition to go out of your way on a Sunday or in your home group to get to know some folks in a different stage of life than you. Sit next to somebody from a different generation. Include some folks in your home group who are older or younger than yourselves. But don't stop there. Look for opportunities to get to know someone from a different ethnic background than you. If you're of a certain political persuasion and discover someone else in our church who thinks differently on these matters, lean in. Get to know them. Find out how their faith has contributed to their political convictions. If you're a 49ers fan like me, you know, lean in and befriend a confused bandwagoning Rams fan, you know. Be kind. Tongue-in-cheek, obviously, but you get my point. Let's get to know some people who are different so that we can be truly an invitational community made up of young and old to the praise of his glorious grace. Amen? Amen. Now, it's appropriate today that we are going to enjoy a baptism. I hope you've been reminded this morning that whether you are young or old, you've been invited to God's kingdom to live under his gracious rule, and there comes a time when each of us needs to make a definitive response to God's invitation. It's not just enough to know, I'm invited. That's good news. Sometime I'll get around to responding. This is urgent stuff, people. We need to respond to God's invitation to orient our lives around his, to come into his kingdom, to say no to trying to play God for ourselves and say yes to allowing him to have his way in us, to say no to the condemnation and say yes to the freedom of the children of God from shame and from guilt, to say no to the forces of evil and yes to the mastery of Christ. This is what baptism is all about. And today we have the privilege of witnessing one of our own take this important step today publicly. What we're going to see is a person go down under the water and come back up again, choosing to identify with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. So, a new life in the Spirit. So I want to invite Talia, Emily, Amanda, come on up if you would. Let's invite them up. Yeah.